Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, this is the last film show for 2021, and what a year it has been. And I lied to you, friends, on last week's show. I will give you my top 10 films of 2021 on next week's show, because there's just a handful of titles I just haven't gotten to. And, well, we're so list-oriented, and honestly, I like to be, like, the last guy presenting his list. So hopefully you're not all listed out, but that'll be next week. I know what I said yesterday. Last week's program, I lied to you. I apologize. I'll try to be better. Opening this weekend, and I'm actually glad it got here as quick as I thought. Usually there are certain films that get released in the big three, New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, by the end of the calendar year, so it can be considered for awards. And I thought The Tragedy of Macbeth would not come to Indianapolis until January. And I'm just wrong in all kinds of places. And it is opening in Indianapolis this weekend. So kudos to that. This is the first film, not with Ethan Coen, but Joel Coen directing and adapting the play for the film version of Shakespeare's Tragedy, with Denzel Washington as Macbeth, Frances McDormand as Lady Macbeth, Brendan Gleeson as Duncan. Coming off the bench for the one great comedic scene is Coen Brothers regular Stephen Root as the porter. And it's funny, you can go to the Film Yap and see my Yap versus Yap debate with Chris Lloyd of the Film Yap about this film. Chris is not a fan of Shakespeare on film. I am. I'm always intrigued to see what they're going to do with it. And in this case, it's the fact that you have Washington and McDormand as two older Macbeths, this time around clutching the power for one last grab of before they are sent off into the Wanders or just old folksville, I guess is a way. I think we're used to seeing a young Macbeth and Lady Macbeth, so the fact that they're trying one last grasp of the crown is a smart move. It's shot in black and white. It has a lot of feel of the Orson Welles version of Macbeth, or I believe Bob Bloom, one of my fellow IFJA members, said there was a little Fritz Lang element to it. I kind of am with him on that. And it's not shot on location. It is shot in a studio. So when this film comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, I will be picking it up, and I would love to see the filming of it. I don't think they shot it in Robert Rodriguez's little studio in Austin, but it has that look to it. It has that feel. So the look of it is cool. It's not shot in widescreen, and it's the black and white photography is lovely, and you get the focus on the characters. Although there is one CG visual at the end that kind of made me chuckle out loud. It's not as ridiculous as the rat at the end of Martin Scorsese's Departed. But from a Shakespearean standpoint, it's pretty close. But you also have two really nice understated performances from Washington and McDormand. They don't have a lot of screen time together, so there's not a lot of smoldering chemistry with the two of them. But individually, really, really good. And I'm glad Washington gets another chance to do Shakespeare. It has been, oh gosh, almost 30 years since the first time he got to do Shakespeare on film. That, of course, is Don Pedro in Kenneth Branagh's film version of Much Ado About Nothing. And I was, a few years back, I was teaching a theater appreciation course at Ivy Tech, and one of the plays that our class read and then I showed them clips from was Much Ado. And the students could not wrap their head around seeing Denzel Washington do Shakespeare. They just know him as action guy. And I got some more Denzel opinions in a little bit, but I want to stick with the film for a little bit more. But yeah, he's done it on Broadway. He did a production of Julius Caesar. He's done more than just action stuff, but I know he makes a lot of money doing the action stuff. So if this, along with producing all of the plays of August Wilson to be made in the films, okay, that explains the Equalizer 12 and the Magnificent Seven remake and all that other stuff. But good energy here from Washington. There's a couple scenes he doesn't go Training Day over the top, especially when Macbeth is going mad. But you see those little bursts of energy that he has that we like to see him do on stage or on screen. Somebody, I can't remember who made the point of this, and it's not me, and I wish I could give it proper credit, but if you think about it, Macbeth is in the pantheon of not bright leading characters in Coen Brothers films. So, you know, there is that. Frances McDormand, inspired choice as Lady Macbeth, that's just kind of coming off the bench and doing what you need to do, and she does it very, very well. So, yeah, it's been a few years since there was a film version of Macbeth. Of course, it was the one with Michael Fassbender, Marion Cotillard from the director of Assassin's Creed. This one is better than that. I'm not going to do a ranking of the film versions of Macbeth. I had a good time watching this, and I was excited to hear that this was being made, and now I'm hoping more people will. I think for me, when you do Shakespeare in film, that's a chance for a bigger audience to get exposed to William Shakespeare's work. And I'm hoping a lot of people come out to see The Tragedy of Macbeth, which is opening in Indianapolis this weekend. This week was also the birthday of Denzel Washington. Happy birthday to him. And as I was staying over at my mother-in-law's the other night because, well, it's none of your business, but I had a late night and we went to the Jazz Kitchen. Now you know. But when I got home, I was to my in-laws' place. I was channel surfing and popped up on, I think it was the OWN channel, was The Preacher's Wife, which is the last time Denzel Washington got to do a comedy, probably ever. No, well, the last time since and that's 1996. I know he's done a couple of plays. Obviously, he's done some plays like Fences and The Iceman Cometh and Julius Caesar. I really wish he'd get a chance to do comedy again. I wish somebody would pay him the money or take a chance and let him do comedy. The man has comedic chops. If you think about the scene in Remember the Titans, when he meets the football players for the first time. You think of the two people, there's a nice not smiling contest between he and Dakota Fanning in Man on Fire. You know, him bawling out Chiwetel Ejiofor in American Gangster. There's some funny stuff. It'd have to be the right comedy. It just couldn't be your run-of-the-mill kind of gross comedy or what have you, I'm sure. But let the man show his comedic chops more, and not in just the action quip fashion. So, 1996, friends, that's been a long time. So I'm hoping with changes of doing films like Fences and Macbeth, you know, one for him, one for the studio, or something like that. So I'm hoping somebody somewhere down the road, or hell, he can produce it himself. He's got the money. I'm hoping I think that's on my cinematic wish list. For a while, I remember this, I would get asked by other shows, you know, what's my predictions or what's my hopes for the following film year. And I remember for a long time I wanted Pacino and De Niro to get at least one more home run, if not a stand-up triple, and that sort of came for me in The Irishman. I think my new campaign is let Denzel Washington be in a comedy, please. And happy birthday, Denzel. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, we want to raise a glass to writer-director Jean-Marc Vallée, who passed away suddenly, as they said on in the news this week, at the age of 58. I remember the film, one of his first feature films as a director was 1997's Los Locos, which they kind of tried to push off as a sequel to Posse because it's a Western with Mario Van Peebles. Really got known in the art house scene here in the States with The Young Victoria, and then, of course, the Academy Award-winning Dallas Buyers Club. The film I really like of his and my favorite of his was his follow-up to Dallas Buyers Club, the Reese Witherspoon drama Wild. His follow-up was Demolition, which I wasn't particularly crazy about, but then he made Big Little Lies and Sharp Objects. So salute to Jean-Marc Vallée. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. And we start on Twitter with Jordan, who says Pig topped 2021 for me, I think. I did ask this week on Facebook, besides what movies have you watched this past week, what was your top film of 2021? And we will get some answers. You might hear Pig on next week's show. I'll just put that out there. At Wise Choice 78 writes, "Don't Look Up, it was good overall, and Worth, great movie, Michael Keaton is awesome." And at Wise Choice 78's best film of the year pick is Pig. Johnny Bergen, oh man, Johnny writes he recently watched The Battle of Algiers. All right, side story with Johnny. Johnny Bergen is a fine guitar player and singer, now living in Virginia. He and I kind of started out at the same time in the mid-90s in the Chicagoland area. He was living in the city. I was living in the suburbs. He had just signed with Delmark Records, and I had just started writing for the King Biscuit Times, a.k.a. one of those free music magazines on the floor by the door at your favorite independent record store. And our paths have crossed many times over the decades, and I got to see him again last week on my birthday of all days. There was a blues brunch concert happening at the Hard Rock Casino in Cincinnati. Ben Levin organized that. Hey, Ben. And he brought in a special guest every week. And the last one on my birthday had Johnny Bergen. So it was a nice surprise for him, and it was a nice birthday present for me. So anyway, Johnny, thank you for Battle of Algiers. I'm going to get to that list one of these days. I need to revisit that one. Susan writes, "Just watched Don't Look Up and thought it was hilarious and spot on. The Dig was beautifully shot and poignant. Black Widow, for being an Avenger movie, was so-so." Thank you, Susan. Randy writes, "New to me for the holidays. Enjoyed both Cup of Cheer, which is a Hallmark spoof, and Krampus with Toni Collette." Yes, very good, very good. And I think that is it on Twitter. We now move to Facebook, starting from last week's post, because that's Facebook. JJ writes, "White Christmas, The New Spider-Man, Between the Lines, and Hitchcock's Rope." Melody writes, "The Unforgivable with Sandra Bullock." Catherine writes, "Die Hard," because you watched that this time of year. Britt writes, "Meet the Ricardos, The Matrix Reloaded, The Matrix Resurrections, and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone." Robert writes, "Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man No Way Home, a short lag in pacing, better acting," he says. "Galaxy Quest, The Matrix, and The Animatrix," and then ask, "Guess what I'm seeing next?" Dune. I know what you're watching. Abby writes, "It's a Wonderful Life and Matrix Resurrections. Most of my week has been eaten up by a script project." That's okay. And Abby writes, "Boo Facebook for showing me posts from days ago." It's okay, Abby. That's why I try to go to last week's post to see if I missed anybody. Robin had a rough time. "I almost made it to the end of four Christmases before I couldn't stand it anymore. Does that count?" And yeah, I'm sorry, Robin, you had to sit through that. There is a lot of talent in that film. There are a number of Academy Award winners in that really obnoxious comedy. That's not funny. Hang in there. Doug writes, "Invitation to the Dance" from 1956, "Being the Ricardos," "Cruella," and "Nightmare Alley." Kate writes, "The First Matrix." Vin writes, "Spider-Man No Way Home." Frank writes Spider-Man No Way Home, quite good, and Matrix Resurrections, mostly good. Brian writes Spider-Man No Way Home, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Michael writes Power of the Dog, Being the Ricardos, and the band played on. Mike writes Elf, Home Alone 2, A Poem is a Naked Person, and 1951's A Christmas Carol. John writes The History of Future Folk, as well as Hondo. Chris writes, Don't Look Up, I'll Never Get That Time Back. Chris Lloyd writes American Underdog, The Long Goodbye, and that's it. Good for you, Chris. I know you are winding down from overdosing on award screeners. Same here. In fact, I was able to take a break and see a couple other movies that are on the different movie pile, which I'll get to at the end of this list. But got the show My Daughter, the D.A. Pennebaker documentary, original cast recording company. She really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And anytime I can get her to watch special features with me, that's a good cinematic dad moment. Tina writes Lamb, super slow pace that worked well in the film. Watched without knowing the premise. I liked it. You might hear Lamb on next week's show. Thank you, Tina. Roxana writes, Don't Look Up. Duke writes, Don't Look Up. David writes, It's a Wonderful Life, again. Spider-Man No Way Home, again, but in 3D. Shang-Chi, again. Nightmare Before Christmas, and hoping to see Licorice Pizza soon. Abdul writes, Don't Look Up. Emily writes, Encanto. Linda writes, Dumb Stuff on Hallmark. Okay. Amy writes, Don't Look Up, I'm dying to know what Richard Probst thought of it, Love Actually, and The Matrix. Adam writes, Reopening Night and Matrix Resurrection. Sheila writes, Don't Look Up, interesting, I liked it. Kara writes, Don't Look Up, reminded me of Starship Troopers. UGH. Holling writes, Passing. Amy writes, The Attic's Wake. Tiffany writes, Encanto. Grace writes, One Special Night and Love Actually. And then I mostly watch serial dramas and now highly recommend Criminal Minds. All right. Mia writes, Matrix Resurrection, Christmas Vacation, Muppet Christmas Carol, and her pick for best film was Fatherhood. Melissa writes, Don't Look Up. That was a good one. Definitely not aiming for subtlety, but sometimes scathing is needed. Joe writes, Tis the Season, Scenes from an Empty Church, A Christmas Carol, The Musical, The Gathering, three other Christmas carols. Man, hold on. Five. Patrick Stewart, Regional Owens, George C. Scott, Alistair Sims, Seymour Hicks, and FX's A Christmas Carol. Wow. Way to go, Joe. Michael writes, Being the Ricardos, Night of the Demon, and Don't Look Up. Nancy writes, Don't Look Up, The Color Purple, The Internship, Office Christmas Party, Started Station 11, Matrix Resurrection, Being the Ricardos, and her pick for 2021's Best Picture, Tick, Tick, Boom, pops up in my head first. I'll ask you next week. You'll probably give me another title. That's okay. That's probably my best 10 list as well. Andrew writes Licorice Pizza. Erica writes, Is it okay if the film wasn't released in 2021? No, that's the whole point. We already got, the IFJA already got flack for having Judas and the Black Messiah on its list this year. I didn't put that there. Anyway, sorry, moving on. Dustin writes La Boheme, All About Eve, a 1976 TV film version of Pinocchio, a 1976 TV film version of Peter Pan. The One Axe 27 Wagons Full of Cotton from 1990. Man, Dustin, I saw a stage version of that at Ball State, the Ball State University, with my now buddy Jim Malin in that. Whew! That's a date play. Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves, American Splendor, The BFG, In the Heights, and Don't Look Up. And to answer your bonus question, either West Side Story or Tick, Tick, Boom. Okay. Don writes Pig and Ford versus Ferrari, and his pick for best film of last year, The Unforgivable. David writes The King. Falstaff is not a hero or a warrior. Dracula, Francis Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. The Christmas Carols of George C. Scott, Alistair Simmons, and Patrick Stewart. White Christmas, A Futile and Stupid Gesture. I've seen that one too, David, the feature film about the history of National Lampoon, the magazine. Don't Look Up, The Midnight Sky, Jungle Cruise, and Being the Ricardos. Well, speaking of Jim Malin, Jim writes Don't Look Up and Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Carrie writes Spider-Man, No Way Home, Matrix Resurrection, Dune, and Venom. Glenn writes West Side Story and Don't Look Up. John writes, it's a very merry Muppet movie. Sing 2 with the kids in a packed theater. Great music. Story's kind of meh. Matrix Resurrections, not as bad as some reviews suggest, but also not great. The Criterion version of The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. John, any Cassavetes is good, but Criterion Cassavetes is better. The best new 2021 film, as opposed to the best old 2021 film, for me had to be Lansky, about Meyer Lansky, the mafia financier who built Vegas into the juggernaut it is today with Bugsy Siegel. The best new-to-me film of 2021, I didn't ask for this, but he's going to give it to me, was Across 110th Street with Anthony Quinn, part blaxploitation, part mafia. I really, really enjoyed this one. Yes, great choice, John. I really, really liked Across 110th Street. There is some folks that say it is one of the seed plantings for the blaxploitation era, but we all know Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song has started that. But yeah, that is looked at as one of the early blaxploitation films. It is, I think it's a crime drama with African-American characters and actors in it. Yaphet Kotto's great in it as well. But yeah, anytime I can watch Anthony Quinn chew scenery, especially in New York, that's always good. Eric writes Red Notice and Tig. Or did you mean to write pig and mistyped? Okay. Andy writes Don't Look Up, a solid C effort. Thank you. Different Andy writes, we saw West Side Story and Being the Ricardos in the last week. Christian writes Spider-Man, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and Jungle Cruise. Joshua writes Matrix Resurrections, Spider-Man No Way Home, his choice for best movie of the year, Don't Look Up, The Unforgivable, and The Power of the Dog. Lauren writes The Matrix Resurrections and Die Hard for the first time. Congratulations, Lauren. That's the beauty of a film, new or at least new to you, and there's always a new one to discover. Nikki writes, Don't Look Up, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Bull Durham. And when you speak of me, speak well. Beverly writes, the best film I watched was Antebellum, not because it was light, pleasurable viewing by any means. I just gained so much perspective on social justice by watching. Thank you, Beverly. Jessica writes, Don't Look Up, Holiday Calendar, White Christmas, A Castle for Christmas, and best movie of 2021, either Dune or The Tomorrow War. I can't remember what I saw. Jessica, it happens. There's so many. Chris writes West Side Story this week. That's the more recent one. Okay. Nick Rogers, Midwest Film Journal, writes The Ref, Matrix Resurrections, Die Hard 2, starring yours truly. Thank you for dropping my name, Nick. The Long Kiss Goodnight, Scrooged, A Christmas Story, and Forever's Gonna Start Tonight. In the spirit of you responding with the airtime slash date of film sociology, my answer to your bonus question will be revealed on the Midwest Film Journal. Well, on Thursday. And depending on when you're listening to this. Anyway, go to the Midwest Film Journal. Go to the Independent Critic. Go to the Film Yap. Go to Medium Cool. Any other, or go to the IFJA and look up the other critics and their shows and websites and podcasts. I'm sorry if I missed anybody. But yeah, well played, Nick Rogers. Back to the list. Alan writes, Shaun of the Dead, Spider-Man Far From Home, best film? Okay. Maybe Lady from Shanghai, even though that's not a 2021 film, and I really liked Pig. Okay. And the musical Scrooge. Joni writes, we watched one of our favorites with our cousins on Christmas, the Beatles film Help. My husband has been slogging through the entire Marvel series in chronological order. Wow. Because one of his students asked him to. Man. Okay. And of course, we watched Elf Christmas Vacation and White Christmas. Okay. She wrote White Christmas Vacation. I don't think that's what she meant. Man, a student asked him to watch them in Marvel films in chronological order. Okay. You know, Glenn Dobbs hasn't even done that. Alan writes Belfast, Anatomy, and Searching. Melissa writes Ghostbusters Afterlife, Christmas Vacation, and Muppet Christmas Carol. We did watch that as the Socies. I think I mentioned that on last week's show, but yeah, that's a tradition at the house. Home Alone. Michelle writes Home Alone, Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, and the best movie for me we watched on Christmas Day, Spider-Man No Way Home. She says, so fantabulous. Eric writes, this week, First Man on the Moon and Oliver Stone's JFK Revisited. Best first viewing, Soul, Palm Springs, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Father, Sans Soleil, and The Tall T. Best rewatch, Night Moves, Paper Moon, and Once Upon a Time in the West. Very cool. Very good there. Allison writes, best film for me, Jojo Rabbit. That's from 2019. Gretchen writes the newest version of Little Women, The Power of the Dog, Old Henry, and Don't Look Up. Patty writes Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Evil Under the Sun. Okay, her old school Hercule Poirot. Assuming best film is not allowed to be the one I've seen before, probably Belfast or The Dig. And never forget, The Dig has Lily James movie glasses, right, Patty? Melissa writes Die Hard, Equalizer 2, Faster, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, ugh. Scrooged, Elf, A Christmas Story, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the 2000 version. Jamie writes Encanto, we watched it on Christmas Day. Taylor writes Nightmare Alley, saw Ocean's, oh, that's his pick for best film of last year. We saw Ocean's 8 and 11 and The Man Who Came to Dinner. Britt writes, the loveliest movie experience was definitely Encanto because I was back in the movie theater. I loved rewatching The Shape of Water, and the best new movie I watched was probably Power of the Dog. Benedict Cumberbatch has a rock solid year, I think. Yeah. The Mandalorian, The Courier, Power of the Dog, and The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne, which I finally got to watch this week, and he's pretty good in that as well. And if you love cats and eccentric artists, definitely watch The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. I also really enjoyed Cruella and Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings, great fun. Also, she watched Meet the Ricardos, The Matrix Reloaded, and Resurrections, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Minions, Despicable Me 3, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Noel, The Nutcracker and the Fourth Realm, and Godmothered. Randy writes, hat tip to you people who list only one or two titles, or none. That's not the point if you have none, but I'm not going to continue on with that thread. Anyway, Lila writes, Pig, but I don't get out much. Lila, I really liked Pig, so... you know, nothing wrong with that. Mary writes The Party, Edward Scissorhands, and Caveman. Pat writes 8-Bit Christmas, Nightmare Alley, and Matrix Resurrection. Aaron writes Spider-Man Homecoming, Muppet Christmas Carol, White Christmas, most of both A Christmas Story and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Hopefully not at the same time. Pat writes, so far, the best film awards type might be for Pat is Licorice Pizza. Some of the ones I'll watch all the time, Spider-Man No Way Home and No Time to Die. That's written weird. Sean writes Spider-Man No Way Home, Nightmare Alley, and Don't Look Up. Bob Bloom writes Spider-Man No Way Home. Carissa writes Encanto, Christmas Story, and Castle for Christmas. Yes, that's the Brooke Shields, Carrie Elwes picture. Christy writes The New West Side Story was breathtaking. Tony writes West Side Story. Austin, Medium Cool Podcast. Mass, The Matrix, The Matrix Resurrections. Favorite film of 2021, he writes, so far, but because I still have plenty to see, The Power of the Dog, followed closely by Mass. Tony writes The Last Duel, Being the Ricardos, and Belfast, and his pick for best film of 2021 is Pig. Daniel writes A Masterpiece of Murder, Memento, Coma, The Matrix Resurrections, Three Hearts, One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing, Donnie Darko, Deception, Anti-Mame, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, The Thin Man Goes Home, Constantine, To Have and Have Not, Christmas in Connecticut, and Rear Window. My favorite movie of 2021 is perhaps The Father. which came out in 2020. Let's see. Andra Faye writes, Don't Look Up. Kurt writes, Three in the Cinema, The King's Man, West Side Story, and A Journal for Jordan. Three at Beltrace, It's a Wonderful Life, Some Like It Hot, and Frozen. And he adds, There was only three of us in the theater for The King's Man. I was alone for A Journal for Jordan. Directed by Denzel Washington, whose birthday is this week. Let him do comedy. Jeff writes, His best for 2021, King Richard. Doug writes, I saw Don't Look Up and Encanto. Simone writes, Just watch Don't Look Up. It will be the best film of 2021 and beyond. Ooh. Robert Muggy, who I'm hoping to get back on the show. Don't Look Up, Being the Ricardos, Encanto, Detective Story, Is Paris Burning, The Devil's Disciple, Last Train from Gun Hill, Young Man with a Horn, Soul, and a reprise of Hangover Square. Jenny writes Spider-Man. Michelle writes Dark Skies. I really enjoyed it. Apparently it's a 2013 film. Nothing wrong with that. Unless you say it's the best film of last year, or 2021 for that matter. Abby writes Being the Ricardos and Splash. Judy writes Spider-Man, Batman Begins, and Being the Ricardos. Kathy's pick for best film of last year, of this year, whenever you're listening to the show, Belfast. Eden writes Don't Look Up. Frank writes, best film is Dune, runner-up French Dispatch. Lana writes, Don't Look Up on Netflix, was very disappointed by this Adam McKay's film. Best movie I saw in 2021 so far is Power of the Dog, and I like The Dig very much. And maybe Belfast for best movie. She's a little undecided. Keep going, Lana, you're doing okay. Krista writes, Licorice Pizza, Elena Hamm was so great. Rachel writes, Ate the Lamb, The Santa Trap, and hopefully either Shang-Chi or The Color of Magic. Wait, you haven't watched them yet, or you're going to be watching them? Okay. Megan writes, Don't Look Up, and The Railway Children. Gary writes, The King's Man, and the bonus question, Being a Marvel nerd, Spider-Man No Way Home was my favorite film this year. Rebecca writes, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Rebecca, have you seen the band shirts of Emma Otter's Jug Band, and it looks like the Ramones logo. Just saying, look out there for that. James writes, Spider-Man No Way Home, Shang-Chi, and Don't Look Up. Mike writes, A Poem is a Naked Person. Mary writes, Saw Nightmare Alley last week. Not really a likable story, but deeply layered and thought-provoking. Thank you, Mary. Terry writes, Christmas Eve from 1947. For bonus questions, I ask for one question and then I get variations of the question I asked. These are my listeners or people who post. Best First Viewing, The Big Country from 1958, Picnic at Hanging Rock from 1975, and The New World. Best Rewatches. Okay, Harold and Maude, The Spirit of the Beehive, and Days of Being Wild. And best 2021 film I experience, The French Dispatch, because this is from a very shallow pool, and I still haven't seen the new Nightmare Alley yet. All right. Pamela writes, Don't Look Up, Elizabethtown, Home Alone, The Family Stone, White Christmas, and Thelma and Louise. Devin writes, Home Alone, Home Alone 2, The Santa Claus, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and The Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2. And the best film he experienced in 2021 was West Side Story. Kevin writes, Didn't have a chance to watch any films this week. My answer to the bonus question would have to be The Courier with Benedict Cumberbatch. Nicole writes, I'm late. No, you're not. I'm talking to you. Well, I'm talking about your post. But I watched Shang-Chi and Passing. Also holiday favorites, Love Actually and A Christmas Story. Cassandra writes, I'm late too. You're not. I just got it here. But I actually watched some movies this week. You can just put these on your list for next week's then. No, I'm going to do it this week, Cassandra, because I'm reading Facebook right now. I saw 310 to Yuma. Which one? Sing 2 and Spider-Man No Way Home in the theaters. And there you are, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got some titles to jot down, and hopefully you got to see some films, good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And as I said, next week's Film Sociology, I will do my top 10 of 2021, and starting to see some other stuff. And I had to put films that were mailed to me aside for the award screeners. I know the trouble is real, and now I'm starting to chip away at that a little bit. Saw two good ones, one and one, well, I couldn't finish. But we start on Film Movement from France, a drama called Final Set, starring Alex Lutz, writer and actor, writer and director from France. He plays an aging tennis pro who is at a crossroads in his career and his life with his wife, who is also a former tennis player. They have a child. He's 37. He's teaching and coaching tennis like a tennis pro, and is trying one more try to get into some tournaments. Kristen Scott Thomas plays his mother, honest with her regrets, and knows the business. And it's funny because this is a film that's going to be overshadowed by King Richard, which is the higher profile tennis film this year. But this one, there's also, he was a young phenom at 17, and his career never quite lived up to all the hype, and he's just trying to hang on. And there is a new 17-year-old French tennis phenom who, well, if you know sports films, you know how it's going to end. And I still enjoyed the journey, especially maybe because I have a five in my age, of aging athletes trying to hang on. I've always had that soft spot for the athlete, the pro athlete in their 40s, or the you know, trying to get one more year in, or maybe two before hanging it up, or and not knowing when to hang up. You know, one of the great sports tragedies. Well, not tragedies, just sad moments. Is I've always said has been Willie Mays missing pop flies when he was with the Mets back in 1973. So anyway, but you know, a well done sports film, nothing too surprising. But it does also one of the recurring bits happens is anytime, and the tennis player's name is Thomas Edison. And according to the Q&A with the filmmakers, that there is no connection. I just haven't really researched it to see if that was the case, but you are reminded of how long these matches go. If you're not a tennis fan, it's brutal. It can be really, really long. And of course, the film's climb and the film will show you the score and how long they've been playing. And this winds up being a big deal at the end of this film. So, well done, and it has a slight uncertain ending. So it's if they remake this in the United States, they'll make it an obvious ending. So yeah, kudos to Final Set from France on Film Movement. From Corinth is a Spanish drama called The Shepherd. Miguel Martin plays a lonely, poor shepherd in the Spanish plains with a lot of sheep. His dog lives on the outskirts of town, reads a lot, no TV, comes into town maybe once every couple of days to get new books from the library, stop at the local bar to have some wine. And this is what happens when he is approached by some executives for a construction company who want to purchase his land for redevelopment. The problem is he doesn't want to sell, and the neighboring neighbors, property owners, do. And it starts to get tense as the film goes on. Doesn't turn into big dumb action film. Nice understated performance from Miguel Martin, who's just sticking to his guns and sticking to his principles. And we find out the other people involved in this potential deal have some issues of their own as the film goes on. So look for The Shepherd, El Pastor on Corinth Video. Okay, Omnibus Video has a war picture from Latvia called The Rifleman, and it's the story of a 16-year-old on the Eastern Front in World War I. Just a slight note, friends. When you're dubbing, think about the voices that you've cast for the dubbing process, and also think about the studio in which you're recording in. I'm of an age where I remember seeing really badly dubbed kung fu movies on television because, and for, you know, for a while, like a horror show host or a kid show, a lot of independent networks or television stations had, or if there was a network station, maybe in the afternoons on the weekends, especially Saturdays, there was kung fu cinema. And we had that in Detroit. And I still remember being in high school and laughing my tail off. It was the first time I had experienced a kung fu film dubbed with English actors. So, it, you know, that's not, this wasn't, The Rifleman wasn't as funny as that, but it was as distracting as that. So when dubbing films, friends, think about who you are casting to fill in these voices and the studio and the means in which you do them. So there you go. All right, friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Next week, this time for sure, my top 10 films of 2021. Hopefully the last list that you have to read for the year, even though it'll be next year, 2022 technically. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hang in there. Hope you see some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. You can go to the IFJA and check out all the critics and all their shows, and we try to commingle whenever possible. And hopefully I'll get some more guests on the show in 2022, although we'll see how the recent surge is and if I can get guests in studio or on the phone. We'll see. Anyway, have a great new year. Be safe. Don't be a knucklehead, and enjoy some films. And take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!